part of the conversation. Send us a WhatsApp message on +27 73 470 3520 or call us at +27 12 001 7679. Let your voice be heard. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media. From broadcast to baptism.
Amen. That is where you are tuned into Adventist World Radio, SID Media. And those are the contact details that you can utilize to get in touch with us right here in studio. As we begin our study now, we are looking at a Christian behavior, like I said, and we are in this fundamental belief. It's number 22 of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And they are saying here, as we go into that conversation, the introduction goes, the way we live each day makes a difference. When we treat when we treat others and ourselves with respect and compassion, we tell if we honor God as our creator and recognize Jesus' sacrifice for us. And so Pastor Maphosa is going to be taking us through the expected behavior for Christians in this discussion. And your thoughts, like I said, are very much welcome. Mfundisi, it's a good afternoon to you and welcome to the Maranatha Drive.
Good afternoon, my friends, and good afternoon to all the viewers. I'm glad to join you in this lovely discussion that we're going to have today.
Marvelous stuff. Thank you so much, Mfundisi. Compliments, by the way, and a happy new year to you and yours.
Thank you so much. Compliments of the new year. We praise God for ushering us again into 2024.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Pastor, as we jump now into our discussion, we are looking to talk about Christian behavior. It suggests when you hear that statement, Christian behavior, it suggests that Christians behave or ought to behave differently from how other people behave. Is that the case?
Yes. I can say that's the case because mm-hmm. from the word Christian, you can already tell that there is a striking difference mm-hmm. that should be there. Those who profess to be Christians and the rest of the world. One thing that you should ask yourself is, how did Christ behave himself? Because even from where the word is coming from, mm-hmm. the Christians, it was first given to some members in Antioch, you see.
Okay.
You from the gospel. There were no Christians in the gospel, just Christ followers. But some members in Antioch, that's when they realized the difference, to say, but these guys, they behave just the same like that man, Jesus Christ, who was crucified on the cross of Calvary. And then they started to call them Christians because they were Christ and they were speaking of Christ. So I want to believe, as we start this discussion, that Christians should behave the very same way that Christ behaved.
Okay.
So they have to be a different, even if you look at them, the way Christ behaved when he was on planet Earth, it was totally different from expectations even of the world. Because even when you read Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 5, it says, let this mind be in you, mm-hmm. which was mm-hmm. also in Christ Jesus. So you see, it's calling us to have that mentality that Jesus Christ had, to have that very same behavior that Jesus Christ had. And then it gives us a glimpse on the behavior of Jesus Christ. And it says, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God.
Yes.
But made himself no reputation. So it's now speaking about the humility of Christ. Mm. So one of the things we should have, in as much as you have money, in as much as you are rich, in as much as you are educated, in as much as you have this and that,
yes.
but you have to be humble, just like Jesus Christ. So the world, you cannot be humble in the world when you have money, but when you are a Christian, you have to be humble. Whether you have money, whether you are educated, whether you have this and that, you see, you have to be humble. So it shows that Christians, in a way, are different from the world. So I can say yes, Christians are very, very different from.
Let me ask a naughty question, Mfundisi, and I feel comfortable because you are the pastor, you are the theologian, and hopefully you'll be able to assist us. Is it then meaning in this difference of behavior that Christians ought to be better than the world? Is it a pursuit of bitterness, or is it just a pursuit of difference?
I don't know, but it's not just a difference for the sake of a difference.
Okay.
Because I want to be, as Christians, we have to make this world a better world by being Christian.
Mm. Mm.
World a better world by being a Christian. There is a song, making this world a better world, this and that.
Mm-hmm.
You see, and even the actions, those are the actions of making a better world. Those are the actions of Christian. You see, when somebody is hungry, yeah, you share with him your food. You see, this and that. So those are the actions of Christians, making this world a better world. So we are not different just for the sake of being, but we are different in order to make the world
a better world.
Better place.
Hmm.
To the people, some the hope that they don't have, you see. We have to be
different. We have to be different. Is this meaning that we can be snobbish and Mfundisi as Christians to say, no, actually we are better than you? When you try to suggest something as a quote-unquote a worldly person, I can tell you, I'm better than you. My behavior is better. You are the one who actually supposed to listen to us. Or is it going back to that first part you touched on, for humility?
Yes, it's not that bitterness of pride to say that I'm better because I'm this far. It's bitterness in helping that somebody to raise up the standard and to be better in the way that he is. But you don't go about telling people that I'm better and this and that. You know, you don't judge people, even people who don't think like, act like you, people who don't behave like you. You don't judge them, but you try by all means. In your humility, just like Christ did, he never judged people in his humility. Yeah, he was on their level. You see, he was on their level, and he tried by all means to help them this and that. So, I want to believe that also as Christians, we have to have that kind of a behavior.
No, it's
a better,
loud and
judgmental
clear.
Than this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it's loud and clear, Mfundisi. No, thank you so much for that. Mfundisi, then talk to us about this behavior that Christians ought to have. What's the Bible saying about that? Because obviously, like you're saying, it's supposed to be Christian, like Christ, following Christ's pattern. But unfortunately, we don't have Christ walking about that we can go and sit down and have a one-to-one moment of how he does it. And in most history books, some don't say exactly what Christ did. But we find this history book, the Bible. What is it saying is the Christian behavior expected of Christians today?
The Christian behavior that we should have, I will take it from the Bible, let me say.
Okay.
Like when you read verse number 11 to verse number 12, it says that, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. And these all men, it's saying, teaching us to deny ungodliness. So one thing the Christians ought to behave is to deny ungodliness. Ungodliness what? These are the worldly lusts. And it says we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world.
Mm.
So even as Christians, our behavior, you know, we should deny worldly lust. The world is teaching about lust, it's exonerating lust, it's uplifting lust, and this and that. But we as Christians, we ought to be different, to deny that ungodliness, to deny that worldly lust, to live soberly. You know, there are no these beauty pieces to say, no, live like this. Even the dressing, let me say, to say dress like this. But the Bible teaches us that when we are dressing, we should dress modestly. Yes, when you dress, you dress modest. Yeah, like a sober person. So we now have to live with that, with those things that will shape the Christian life.
I like that. I like that. Mfundisi, thank you so much for the lessons today. Maybe as we draw towards the close, let's go back to that tough moments that we sometimes find. So you're saying the scripture is saying this is how Christians should live. I mean, I was just looking at the website earlier where you find this fundamental belief given in on the Seventh-day Adventist website. And they mention quite a lot of things regarding how Christians ought to live and the things that are expected of them. I mean, just you mentioned already some of them. The others are compassion, generosity, humility, patience, joy, peace, selflessness and whatnot. And then you see all these things quite a tall order, and it seems prescriptive in nature. You know, this is what you must do, it's expected of you, this is how you ought to behave, this is what Christians should do. It's not leaving too much room to say, no, we encourage Christians to be doing these things. You know, if they don't, it's also okay. Or if they're found to be doing other things, it's also, it's like you must be found. If I find a Christian in Mfundisi, like you were saying earlier on, let's pick the one you spoke right in the beginning, humility, and he's not humble, he's a prideful Christian, we'll be questioning their Christianity. Not just that they are behavior is wrong, their whole Christian identity is in question. Now here begs the question to say, if the expectations are so precise, how do we balance free will? I mean, if God created us to be moral free agents, but yet here we are saying you must follow only in this part, be free, but only do this. how do we balance it? And I'm thinking of a listener who was thinking, you know what, I want to be a Christian, but it's so restrictive. And here we are saying, yeah, that's actually how a Christian behaves. And they're thinking, oh my goodness, I don't think I can even manage that. How do we balance? Because they're thinking it's not free. You're so bound up. And we're saying it's for liberty. And like, how? Njani, help us understand.
I don't know, because when you are talking about being restrictive now, when I'm talking about not being free now, saying that sometimes maybe to be a Christian, you're restrictive now, you're now bound by this or now bound by that. You know, going back in Genesis, when God created Adam and Eve, he gave them the freedom of choice. He never treated them as robots. You are now bound to do this, whether you like it or not, you're going to do it. You see, but he gave them the free will to say that if you don't want to do it, you don't do it. But if you want to do it, you do it. Now, when a Christian is being humble, you are not being forced to be humble as something that is mm-hmm. difficult. But it's now your nature. It's now natural. You see, when it comes to the aspect of giving, it's not natural. It just flows from you. But when you see it being hard, you see, as if you are being forced, this and that, and then the Christianity is not yet permeated in you. Yeah, but from the heart. It springs forth from the heart. There is nothing that is difficult. You see, there is nothing that is difficult in doing that. So you should love to be doing those things. So those people say, no, it's not restrictive, this and that. Look at it when you come to even some of the foods that are not supposed to eat.
Okay.
It's for your benefit. When we say, no, as Christians, we shouldn't be drinking alcohol. It's for your benefit, because even those in science, they can tell you that drinking alcohol is hazardous to your health. Even the smoke, when you are smoking, you see, it's written that smoking is hazardous to your health. So it's something that is to your benefit. So when you are now a Christian, you now realize that this is for my benefit. I'm not doing this because I'm forced to. I'm doing this because it is for the benefit of myself. And it's also coming from the heart, just like giving. When you give, it's coming from the heart. You're not forced to say, I'm now a Christian, I should pay tithe. You see, and it's now difficult for me. No. When you do that, it's not even acceptable to God, but it should come from the heart. So that's the difference from the heart. So the free will is still there. You are doing it because you love it. You are doing it because you like it. You are doing it because it's in your nature. You're not being forced to do it, but it's coming from the heart. So the free will is still there because it's coming from the heart. So when Jesus life, your heart, and he changes your heart, you see.
Let me understand you, Mfundisi. So you are saying Yes, it's possible that you are being asked to do something that you don't want. Here you are, you want to, I'll take a good example, a very practical one. You're a Christian. The scripture says when you are offended, they attack you, you must give the other cheek. And then here you are in your own nature. They come, they do things, they say things. You are tempted to lay hands on them. But you're saying at that level, when I am still responding to what my body and my mind says, you must then do this. I'm not forced to not do it. If I choose to not do it, I stop being Christian. But as a Christian, I am not giving up my will. I am actually finding liberty in that Christ is the one giving me the ability to. Is that what you're saying, Mfundisi? That this idea of me giving up my free will is not giving up. I'm trying to make it make sense. It's not giving up free will. It's allowing Christ to live out in me, and that's not giving up free will.
It's allowing Christ to live in me, and also knowing that some of the things that I am bound to do,
yes,
that I even don't want, they are to my benefit. You know, the sinful nature wants to revenge. When people spite you, when people do these bad things to you, you want to revenge. But then God says, revenge is what is mine. Mm-hmm. You don't need to revenge. That man, I think, revenge. And sometimes even when you look into history, you will see the end of those people who were revenged, you see, and it was to their detriment. So when you are doing that, the nature is saying, yes, you should do this. But you are now bound to say, but no, this is not for my good. Mm. And when you do that also, you see, in the spirit of Christ, you would know that even at the end, you know that that thing was to my benefit. You see,
it was to my benefit.
Naturally, adultery. You want to fornicate because that's the sinful nature that we have. Your body is saying that I have to do this, but sometimes just that this is against the principles of Christianity. When you don't do that, you're not being restrictive. Sometimes it's restriction that is to your benefit that you'll see later that, this thing was benefiting me. You see, it's not something that was just kind of tricking me so that I don't do it, but no, it was coming to my benefit so that I become a better person, so that I become a better Christian. You see, so that I become, a better me. So I think that's the difference that comes.
I like that. Nomfundisi, thank you so much for that. A fascinating conversation. Any closing remarks as we wrap up today?
Yes. What I can say is that even my closing remarks, Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think of these things, because that's the Christian behavior.
That is the Christian behavior. Think on these things. Mruti, thank you so much. Until tomorrow, God bless you.
Thank you so much, my brother. God bless you.
That's Mfundisi Maphosa there joining us as we were looking at Christian behavior. That is the conversation we were having. It's fundamental belief number 22 of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Mfundisi is saying there, it is a restriction to your benefit. And yet, that's why, no, not even and yet, that is why James calls it the law of liberty. It's law that liberates. Some freedom actually causes restriction, causes damage, causes pain. Ask anybody who has done something that is hurtful. When you do it, you think, I am able to do it, I am free. And then you realize quickly, no, actually I was not free, I was being protected. It's like a fence that you find at a cliff. It's not there to restrict you, it's there to protect you, my dear friend. So when you are being asked to do something as Christian behavior, it is actually so that you can be better free and enjoy life more to the fullest.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.